Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Know-How is brought to you by CashFly.
This episode of Know-How is brought to you by the Ring Video Doorbell. Stop crime before it happens and help make your neighborhood safer with Ring. Go to ring.com/know-how and get up to $150 off a Ring of Security kit. And by IT Pro TV, the fun and entertaining way to sharpen your IT skills. Visit itpro.tv/know-how and use the code KNOWHOW30 to get a free 7-day trial and 30% off a monthly membership for the lifetime of your active subscription. Today on Know-How,
CES for your car,
CES for your wrist,
and CES for your bottom.
That's right. It's a CES swag gravanza. It's a Twitch show where we build, bend, break, and upgrade. I am Father Robert Ballasaire.
And I'm Patrick Delahanty.
And for the next however many minutes it takes, we're going to do what we need to do to make sure that this is the know-how that you deserve.
You okay? You need a lozenge.
Yeah. It's
Have you seen that? Have you seen that? Was it the comedy thing? It's Batman choosing his voice.
And the person's like,
where is she? I mean, how many different times did you have to go through to get the right one? You have to get the right mixture of gravelly and hoarse and kind of inhuman.
Could have just used a voice changer.
I know. Well, that's how they did in DC. Yeah. Well, never mind. Folks, we're here. We're back. That's right. We've been on and off for the last couple of weeks because we've had CES and we had the CES flu. Then I've been in Rome for a bit, which, by the way, we're going to talk a little bit about that because some of our Kitas have been asking about that. What's the future of Know-How?
What's the deal with that?
It's a thing. It's a thing in progress. And you know what? We've been very open with you. This is why we announced it so far in advance, so that maybe you could kind of just play along as we figure out how this is all going to unfold. Very exciting.
For those of you playing the home game.
Yeah. When you're doing the Padre board, whatever it's going to be. And, of course, we've got some special stuff here for you. We've got some products, as promised, that we brought back from CES or that are starting to arrive. This is the CES swag game, folks. This is how it works. All those vendors I visited, they're going to start sending their stuff, and it's going to start ending up on the show. So we're gonna play around. We've got some gadgets for your car, gadgets for wrist and health. And I think Burke's helping us with the latest gadget. We just received this. We asked... Oh, dear. Yeah, folks, this is what happens when you ask Burke to help.
Oh,
okay, hopefully we have a product that still works. And, you know, folks, I love Burke. He did a great job with the Burke box, but I'm a little worried for the future of the Flexi Cycle or whatever it is. But, hey, Patrick, let's go ahead and jump into the first one. Now, this one, I think CES, if I was going to put a theme on it, would be products that I thought were stupid, and then I used them, and I thought, okay, I see that. And this definitely fits into that category. It's this, the ROAV Viva. Now, if you don't know ROAV, it's a relatively new brand, but it was just acquired by Anker. You may know Anker from the battery packs that I know and I love. Well, they've come up with a couple of products that are for different styles of life. And they've got the connected series from ROAV for your car. Now, here's the thing. This is actually a car adapter that has the Amazon Voice Assistant built into it. And unfortunately, folks, I'm sorry, there was no way to change the default name. So if you have an Amazon Voice Assistant, we will be triggering yours when we say it. In the finished version, hopefully our editors will take that all out. But just so you know, just be aware, you may have to cover her ears. All right, so the idea is, you get a relatively competent car adapter. If you go to the overhead here, Alex, I've got two ports here. These are two Power IQ equipped USB ports, automatically charges at the highest rate. Now, what that means is you're not always trying to mismatch the adapter with the device. If your device only supports 1 amp, so it's 5-watt charging, it'll do that. If it goes all the way to 3.1-watt charging, it will do that. And it will figure out automatically what's the safe amount of power that it can push through. Now, it would charge your iPhone 7 in, say, 2.2 hours from zero instead of, like, 3.2 hours. It would charge your iPad mini in 3.6 hours instead of, say, 7.5 hours. So it's actually pretty good. Their tech has gotten to the point where I don't really have to worry about configuring it. But the big feature, you may notice, is, there's a little mute button. That's what you use with the Amazon Voice Assistant. It's got two microphones here, and these are dual MEMS microphones and a dedicated noise reduction chip inside of the unit. The reason why you want that is, what's a problem with your car?
It's noisy.
It's noisy, right. Yeah. And because we did this, we actually took an Amazon Voice product and we put it in the car, a little dot. Cool, except for the fact that it didn't understand you a lot when you were at freeway speeds because there's just too much cabin noise. This has been specifically engineered to get rid of that. It's a noise-canceling system, so it's listening from the ambient, and then when you speak, it subtracts the ambient so it actually understands your voice.
Right.
You can do everything with this that you could with any of your standard Amazon Voice assistants, so you've got access to 25,000 skills. You can control anything. And here's the cool thing. Because the network is all together, I can control stuff from my home. So I'm on the Amazon Voice Assistant network. I could say, so-and-so, please turn on my lights, or so-and-so, please turn off my air conditioner. And if I have it set up, it will activate that skill.
And you could activate the automatic with the Voice Assistant and ask where you parked while you're in your car.
Actually, yes, you can. It will also do hands-free. It's a very good microphone. This is a far better microphone for my car than I have on either my Bluetooth aux device or the built-in microphone that I had on the new Prius that I sometimes get to drive. So
yeah, our new Murano, the microphone is not great.
Yeah, people complain. I did a call with this, and I told them I was on a speakerphone, and my dad's like, no, it's not a speakerphone. I said, yeah, no, it totally is. So here's what we're going to do. I've got this little battery pack, and so it's simulating a 12-volt accessory port right now. So this is live. This is kind of a weird setup. People might wonder about this. The way it works is it's going to be connected to my phone. So it's linked up through my phone. That's how it's going to get its connectivity. That's how it gets connected back to the Amazon network. And then the phone also connects to, say, the Bluetooth speakers in my car or the Bluetooth head. Unit on my stereo, whatever it might be. If it's not connected to that, you'll just hear it through the phone, which is what we're going to do. Now, you have to activate the ROAV app. How about that? Look, so it's already connected. It knows it's there. I've already paired it. The pairing process was super, super simple, and now I should be able to do anything I can do with the Amazon Voice Assistant. And again, I'm sorry, if you're watching live, I'm probably going to trigger her right now. Let's show you this. Stella, tell me a joke.
I don't know if they could hear that. Yeah. But
I mean, and again, I have access to all the skills, so I could order pizza. Although they were really pushing Domino's Pizza. They must have a sponsorship with Domino's Pizza.
Well, and you can listen to your Twit flash briefings on this,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, exactly.
In the car, which is perfect for...
I don't have it set up, but you could say a word. Play my flash briefings.
Yeah.
And it will just start up. Or, Scala, play my audiobook.
Audible. Resuming Cryptonomicon.
There you go. See? So it's everything I can do at home.
Now it's playing.
Stop.
Now, there's no push to activate button on this, is there?
No. Okay. No. There actually could be. If you have it synced up to, say, a head unit that has the trigger, that still works.
Okay.
So it's Bluetooth 4.1, so I can connect to multiple devices. So this is connected to the phone. The phone is connected to the car. Yeah. Now people may be asking why, because it is $50. They might be saying, wait a minute,
That's actually less than I thought it would be.
It is much less, and that's why it's sold out. If you go to the link right now, it's almost impossible to get these things.
Yeah.
Like, it was available very briefly when it first came out. I think Leo got one, but it's hard to find now.
Yeah.
And they're actually price gouging because they're so hard to find.
Oh.
I don't think they properly estimated how much popularity there is in the home assistant ecosystem.
Yeah.
So this is the ROAV Viva. You're going to like this thing. I really do. You know, again, The first time I saw it, I said, it's cool technology, but I saw so many things that were A-word enabled. It's not going to be good.
Putting it in the car, though, that's good. That's where I want.
It's kind of cool.
Plus,
kinda
it's cool. It's convenient and fits right in. There's no wires hanging out.
No.
And it's probably also a good time to mention that our Twit flash briefings are now available in Australia, India, UK, Canada, and, of course, the U.S.
Italy?
Not yet.
No love for what?
Amazon doesn't let us submit to Italy yet.
What else?
So when they do the other countries, that's when we add it.
Yeah,
so we just added three new ones.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, how am I supposed to get my Twit fix when I have to go over there, huh?
I'll tell it you're in the U.S.
Okay, that works too. All right, let's go ahead and move on to something else. This was an interesting device because I got it, and they weren't really at CES, but they were at CES. There's a game people play. It's fun. I didn't know what this was, and then I started messing around with it, and I actually really, really like it. This is called the Split Second. It's spelled kind of weird. It's S-P-L-I-T, like S-C-N-D, because they couldn't get Split Second.
Oh.
You know how the game works.
Yeah.
This is what it looks like. So it's just an accessory adapter. It's a 12-volt device, but you get so much. Imagine this. Have you seen those OnStar commercials?
This is
basically a way to add OnStar functionality to any car.
Okay.
So it does automatic crash detection. It has a 6-axis accelerometer. It has GPS. It has a 3G SIM in there. So it allows it to alert automatically authorities when you've been in an accident. It will tell them exactly where you are. It will tell them the make and model of your car. Mm-hmm. It will activate an emergency two-way conversation to see if you're okay. But it also has tracking features. Like, for example, I could get one of these, put it in my teen's car, and now it can, like, geofence the car. Oh, and by the way, there's a battery backup, so if they pull it, it still works, which I think that's actually a little stroke of genius there. So I'm going to plug this in. The cool thing about this is I've seen products like this in the past, but the problem is there's a monthly subscription fee, and that just kills it for me, right? Because I'm like, I'm not going to pay $20 a month for the rest of my car's life.
Right.
It just starts to add up. Split Second has gone the other way. The device is actually kind of free. What they're doing is they sell you, it's $300, but then it's lifetime. And that includes the device and the service forever.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. That made me a little wary at first because I'm always worried about companies that start a lifetime subscription, but then they don't have a way to regularly get income.
Right.
It looks like, I think the way they're going to do it is they're also going to start doing like roadside assistance, just like with OnStar.
Oh.
And then they can charge for that. So most people will just get the unit for safety and for tracking. Some people will pay the monthly, and that's how they get their mm-hmm. income. Now, if you go to my computer, Alex, this is what the Split Second dashboard looks like. So this is a web dashboard that I can access at any time. It is linked. So this knows that right now, since I've reset this device, I've spent an eighth of an hour on the road. I've traveled 42.8 miles. It knows exactly where I've been. It knows where I've stopped. It knows how long I've stopped. I'm not going to show you that because I don't want you to see that information too much. But I mean, this is cool. This is really cool. This is a absolutely perfect tracking device, security device, whatever device, safety device. There's so many different categories you could put this in. I kind of like it.
Yeah. I've got something similar in my car with the automatic, which used to be a sponsor on the Twit Network.
Right.
But it doesn't have all the features of this, of the voice, the voice assistance when you were in the crash where they talk to you.
You can do that. This actually has a skill.
This seems to have more, so it's taken to the next step.
Right. So you can tie this into your Amazon Voice Assistant ecosystem, and anytime you're near a Amazon Voice Assistant, you could say, A-word, where's my car? And just like automatic.
Yeah.
But this will actually say, right now, it's on the freeway traveling at 84 miles an hour. And you're like, oh, why is my kid traveling 84 miles an hour? That's actually kind of cool.
Yeah.
There are privacy concerns, but remember, this is designed to be the safety system / security system for your vehicle. For $300 for a lifetime subscription, that's actually not bad.
Yeah.
That's actually pretty good. I mean, the first year is expensive. The second year, not so expensive. By the third year, it's like, I pay more for that than for coffee.
You've already made up what it would have cost if there was a, monthly fee.
Right.
I love lifetime subscriptions.
I
did that with
TiVo.
And
if you go to the link for their that first link, Alex, it's again you have to purchase it straight from them. I'm sure they're going for some distribution. They're a newish company, good tech, but they are doing that $300 lifetime subscription. So once you have it, you're good to go. And by the way, of course, since it's an accessory, they also do USB charging. And they do have that little button there so you can trigger help. Like if it's an emergency,
yeah,
just say, no, right now I need you. Come,
yeah, that's
come
a big
do this.
Plus.
That's a plus. So, hey, if you've got a kid, or in my case, I know exactly where this is going. If you have a parent that you're a little worried about, by the way,
yeah,
the Toyota Prius, it has a 12-volt accessory port in the trunk. So I can just put it in there, and they won't even know it's there.
Well, that's good, because then they can have the cigarette lighter adapter free for other things, like a phone charger.
We were wondering.
That's out of the way. And that does kind of stick out a bit.
Does.
So depending on where your charger is, it may be in the way.
We were wondering about that the other day. We still call it the cigarette lighter adapter.
Because I'm old.
When was the last time you saw a cigarette adapter? A cigarette lighter in the adapter?
10 years ago, and it was an old car.
I would gather that most of our new audience
has never seen it. So.
Well, yeah, his car is like 20 years old.
Pristine condition.
All right.
Mine is behind. It's like back here, and I hit it with my elbow all the time.
Well, the one in my dash
is supposed to
have a cigarette adapter, and then there's also the accessory port in the
console.
I don't
have one in the dash.
Really?
It's back here because I have no back seat in the Z. It's weird.
You know you have to get rid of that when you get the the baby, right?
Well, once the other car's paid off. One at a time.
Oh, by the way, how is your wife? I mean, his wife is the greatest maker ever. She's making a baby.
Yes. Yep.
Is that almost 3D printed?
I mean,
what kind of filament do you use
for that? Know-how project.
Oh, gosh. No, we're going down the wrong alley here.
Yeah, it's a 9-month 3D print.
It is a 9-month.
She's about 6.5 into it. So,
you know, the thing about that is if that print gets stopped, you have to take action. So look out for that.
No, it's all going well.
Folks, we're going to get back to that in a bit. We're going to come back to some CES tech for your car. But first, you know what? I want to do something that we promised to do and we've almost never done, and that is include more feedback. We're just going to intersperse it throughout our shows from now on. We've got one from Jason Brown, who has some pie hole problems. What does he say, Patrick?
Jason says, I'm trying to get a better handle on how pie hole works. My wife and I signed up for Hulu's ad-free option. Apparently, some shows aren't part of this agreement, so they give you an ad at the beginning and end of certain shows. We just started a show that was supposed to give us the beginning and ads, but ended up going straight into the show. So do we think that was because of a glitch on Hulu, or did Piehole just do its job? Every browser-based ad blocker always gave us a blank nag screen for 30 seconds, but that didn't happen this time, so it feels like the nature of ad-free Hulu ads might be different than the normal ones. There's so much going on with ad blockers and anti-ad blockers that it's hard to keep up with. So I'd love if someone more versed in the subject could provide a simple primer. What I know, I think, is that ad blockers only affect third-party ads, but natively hosted ads aren't typically affected. So is this some weird case where Hulu is such an indirect connection to the ads that I was able to skip them entirely?
That is a very good question, and you know what? We actually got that a lot after the Pie Hole episode, both here and on the new Screensavers. I think you kind of have to understand how the different ad blockers work. So if you've got an ad blocker in a browser, Firefox, Chrome, mm-hmm, whatever it might be, what it's doing is it's actually inspecting the code as it's coming in. It's looking at the page elements, and it's almost like a virus filter. It has the signature of types of scripts that are used for ads, and it knows certain websites that are used to serve ads, and it just keeps that from rendering on the page.
Yeah, so it'll see a request for an image hosted at doubleclick.net and be like, okay, DoubleClick's ads, block that.
Yeah.
Sometimes they see certain sizes, like, oh, this is 720 by 90 or 728 by 90. That's an ad size. Let's just block that wherever it's from.
Right. And one of the big things is actually the browser-based ad blockers are typically very good at blocking tracking links.
Yes.
So you probably know this, but one of the ways that you get tracked by advertisers is they might put like a 1 pixel by 1 pixel image.
Yeah.
That it's basically a tracking cookie. They know that you've gone to that page. They know which site or which computer IP has hit that page. And it knows to look for that and get rid of it. But the thing about that is you're kind of at the mercy of the people who are updating the ad blocker. Because, mm-hmm. you know this, Patrick, it's a cat and mouse game. You block an ad one way, they're going to find another way to serve it to you. Yeah. It's a never-ending game.
Yeah.
And as a network that is supported by advertising, we get that. We understand that. You do kind of want to find a way to get paid for the work that you're doing, but sometimes it's annoying. Yeah. I get it. I'm down with that. Now, that's a browser-based ad blocker. The Pi Hole is a DNS-based ad blocker. And DNS, of course, is the way that you find sites right. on the internet. When I type in www.twit.tv, I'm not actually going to www.twit.tv. I'm going to a specific number. It's an IP yep. address that says where the server is. But it would be impossible for me to memorize all the numbers of all the sites that I want to go to. So I have DNS, which does what?
It tells you where to go. It tells you the route to get to for the
precisely. For the so if I go to twit.tv, I'm actually querying a DNS server first. Yes. The DNS server is going to say, oh, that's the server at 149.51.1.72. Yeah. Don't hit that address. That's not us. Yeah. And therefore, it knows where to go. What the Pi Hole does, it's going to insert itself between your client and the DNS server, that server that you're using to resolve it. And it's just looking for requests for domains that it knows are ad servers. Now, this is kind of clean because it means that stuff never touches your browser. With an ad blocker, it's still coming into your computer. That data is still making yep. its way through your pipe. It's just stopped from rendering. With the Pi Hole, because it's blocking the DNS request, it's not even going out to that server, which is kind of nice. On the other hand, it can't really block native ads. So if we're serving ads from Google, adclick.com, whatever it might be, the Pi Hole can block those domains so I never get those ads. But if I'm serving an ad from twit.tv, it yeah. can't just block twit.tv because that's blocking all the content. That's what you're seeing with Hulu. Some of those native ads are actually coming from the Hulu domain. You can't really stop those unless you're willing to block every single instance within that particular domain that you consider bad. That's yeah. tough to do.
Yeah, you'd have to know every possible video file that they're trying to load yeah. and then you know, you block one, they've added another one.
Precisely. And if they're smart, they auto-generate those files, yeah. and you'll never be at the end.
Yeah.
So, bottom line, I do like browser-based blocking just because it's so easy and I can use it from place to place. But as we saw with the Pi Hole, because I've now made it so small and battery-powered and portable, I kind of like it that way because it means I'm saving on bandwidth because that's stuff that doesn't have to come over my pipe, especially if I'm limited because I'm coming over my yeah. hotspot. And it also means that, I am relying on the work of thousands of individuals who are contributing to that blacklist of ad sites.
And you've heard about the people running ads that are actually crypto miners, right?
Oh, my gosh. I know, right? Every time I wake up, there's another reason to block ads. Explain to the audience really quickly.
There's people running malicious ads that will keep running in the background and mine cryptocurrency. And so they've got all these ads displaying on people's computers, and every time the ad is up, every time you're on that page, it's mining. And so it's using all of your bandwidth to do exactly this with Doge hitting graphics cards against the wall.
You know, for a while there, my Doge got really, really worth something. That was kind of amazing.
You got locked out of it, though, didn't you?
I kind of did. Oh. I have four wallet files.
You're out 35 cents.
No. For a while there, it was like, $20,000.
What?
That's not bad. Yeah.
Of Doge?
Of Doge. Oh, I had like 1.3 million.
Oh.
Whatever. I don't get that craze. Folks, when we come back, we're going to be jumping back into the CES for your car. But before we do that, let's go and take a moment. Thank a sponsor of this episode of Know How. Now, we're talking about all the shiny, all the cool stuff that you can buy, all the little gadgets and gizmos that you love. But you got to protect all that stuff. I mean, right? I mean, if you buy the shiny, if you buy the great stuff, if you've got a nice car, if you've got nice things, it's probably going to be in your house. So what are you doing to make sure that your house stays secure? Now, there are all the common sense things you can do to make sure that you're keeping secure. But there's also a technological solution that we particularly love here at the Twit TV network. And that solution is called Ring. Ring has mastered the protection of the home. The whole idea is to make you home even when you're not home. The Ring Video Doorbell is the original. That's the thing that dragged us into the Ring world. It was such a unique solution. It was so well executed. It's just a doorbell with a camera and two-way audio that tells you automatically when someone comes up to your house. Well, folks, they've built on that success, and they've given you an entire ecosystem of Ring. Ring's mission is to make neighborhoods safer, and that Ring Video Doorbell did let you see and speak to intruders on your smartphone from anywhere, and even share video clips with neighbors using the Ring app. But they've also added things like the Floodlight and Spotlight Cam. The Floodlight and Spotlight Cam lets you build a ring of security around your entire property. Just like the Ring Video Doorbell, Floodlight Cam is a motion-activated camera and floodlight that connects to your phone. With high-visibility floodlights, HD video, and two-way audio, it lets you know the moment anyone steps on your property. It's like your own little force field. You can see and speak to visitors, even set off an alarm right from your phone. And when things go bump in the night, you'll immediately know what it is, and you'll be able to bump back. The Ring Floodlight Cams offer the ultimate in-home security. Thieves just can't hide with the Ring. You can monitor every corner of your property with a Ring of Security kit, which includes a Ring Video Doorbell and your choice of either one, two, or three flood cams, depending on how much property you need to protect and where you're located. And connect your Ring Video Doorbell with your favorite smart locks and hubs for added convenience, monitoring, and security. Stop crying before it happens, folks, and help make your neighborhood safer with Ring. Save up to $150 off a Ring of Security kit at ring.com/knowhow. That's ring.com/knowhow. And we thank Ring for their support of Know How. Okay, so Patrick, I just got back from Rome, and I had a quick epiphany while I was in Rome, and that is... some people drive real bad.
But they drive really nice cars.
Actually, I kind of like their cars because they all drive the teeny tiny cars. Because those are the only ones you can move around in Rome.
They don't all drive Italian supercars? I been watching too much Grand Tour?
It was fun to sit on some of the main streets and see whenever one of the big cars would go by. Because everyone's looking at it going, that is so impractical. It's like you will never be able to park that thing. You will circle around the city until you die. You need a car that you can park straight in or sideways, whatever it is. So they've all got the little smart cars and little Fiats. But how do I put this politely without offending an entire nation? I'm surprised more people aren't dead. How about that? Okay. With the way that the traffic works in Rome, it seems to be sort of they've got their own system. They just don't want to tell you what it is. I saw so
Sounds
many
like Boston.
I know. I saw. It's kind of true, but I saw so many fender benders where people would get out, they'd yell at each other for a while, and then get back in the cars and just drive away. I'm like, oh, okay, that's the thing. Well, I'm thinking that if I'm going to go drive in Italy, I might need something like this. This is the ROAV Dashcam C2. This is just a dash cam. You've seen these before, and this is the reason why fail videos from Russian driving are so much fun. Because, and I mean that in a good way, they've actually understood why you want a dash cam. A dash cam actually is important because it means if anyone ever has a question about who's at fault or who did what, the dash cam is there automatically for you. Now, this is the ROAV C2. It's a 1080p sensor with 145-degree f2 wide-angle lens on the front. So it gives you this really nice angle. It lets you see everything in front of the car. It's a WDR Sony X-Mor. It's an IMX323 sensor with wide dynamic range, and it's also got night vision capabilities. It's got a steel frame for temp resistance. Anything you've got mounted on a dash, especially if it's black like this, will have a tendency to overheat.
Yeah.
So they've built the frame to help dissipate the heat from the circuitry a little bit better. It's got an internal battery, so even when you disconnect the power, like when you turn off the ignition, it will keep running. It's got a 3-inch LCD slot. It's got an SD card slot, micro SD, a G-force sensor, which is cool because it means that you will auto-save any sort of accidents. If the G-force is high enough, it knows to save that clip plus like 10 seconds before the clip, which I kind of like. And it's also got an emergency button at the back so that if like something happens, you can press it and it will take like 10 seconds before and 30 seconds after. So one of the other features I really like about this, the ROAV, is the C2, is it does... I like that. It has a parking sensor. So if it detects a high G force while it's parked, which means it's in safe mode, so it's saving power, it will actually reactivate and start recording again.
Okay.
So if your parked car is hit, you're probably going to get the person who hit you.
If they hit you in front.
If they hit you in front or on the sides.
Well, I suppose you could point one out the back, too.
Yeah. This thing's not actually that expensive, Alex, if you go to the link there. This is about, it's under $60. Oh. It also records sound. You can toggle that on and off. And, you know, it's got a looping function. So I can loop 1, 3, 5, or 10 minutes, and I'm not always building up the size of the card. It just means that anything that happened 10 minutes ago is getting overridden.
Yeah,
which is what you want, because I don't want to record the entire journey. I just want to record.
Yeah. I don't need a GoPro on the card.
Precisely. Comes with actually a very nice charger. So if you've got, again, this is the IQ technology that Anker uses. It will make sure that you're charging at the highest level that you can for that particular device. This will charge both the C2 and another USB device. And then they've got all the accessories, the suction cups and the cables that you need to get this thing attached to your car. This isn't new technology, but what I like about this is it's low cost, it's high quality, and the video imagery on this actually looks really, really good. And it just kind of makes sense now. Yeah. It used to be a luxury, but now it's like, why? I mean, with these being so cheap and so maintenance-free, why wouldn't you want something like this?
Yeah, that's a really good price. Yeah. And so how long does the battery last?
I don't know, because it's very good at going into sleep mode.
Okay.
But all I know is that, so when I drive in the morning and I start moving the car, it's up away immediately. So it knows I'm moving. It knows to come back up and start recording again. But if it senses no motion, it will go into that sort of sleep mode and it will wait for a high G event. I have let the car sit for a week.
Oh.
And when I came back, it started up right away, which told me the battery was still working.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, that's actually quite well designed. Yeah.
And because one of the things...
See, I moved it and it started recording. So that was a high enough G event that it thought that it got hit after I was being parked.
Now, one of the issues I've had with dash cams is I didn't want a wire coming from my from my cigarette lighter or, you know, power port up onto the windshield.
Unfortunately, you still have to do that until they find a way to wirelessly get power to devices that are on the dash.
Well, but if the battery holds a charge, can I just have it charge and then unplug the wire while I'm driving?
You could. I should run that. I'm betting this thing will probably last about an hour and a half of driving.
Okay.
Because while you're driving, it is recording.
Yeah.
While you're stopped and it knows that the frame's not changing, it's using next to no power. But if you are driving, it's full activity, which means the screen's going to be on.
Right.
You can also tell the screen to turn off, but what's the fun in that?
Well, I don't want to be distracted while I'm driving either.
Whatever. I'm serious, though. They do need to figure out a way to wirelessly power these things that are going to be on the dash.
And it's especially in my car, where the power is behind my right elbow.
Right.
I can't really have a wire going all the way up to the...
One thing, though, make sure that you turn off the parking meter if you're going to put it back in the box, because it will wake up as you move around. it's really that sensitive. It's a very well-designed device. Hmm. Again, you know, Anker, I got to say, they've been making some really good moves, because they started with just the batteries. Now they've got ROAV, which is sort of giving them the portability, mobility stuff. They've got Eufy, which gives them some of the home technology. They have a speaker company. I mean, they're acquiring companies strategically so that they go from just being a battery company to being a provider of all your electronics.
Yeah, the two ROAV things here. What else do you get back
there? Oh, I don't know. okay, so this... Keep the camera off until I get this thing open. This may not be too exciting to people who... have seen the show before, because you know that we show off a lot of battery products, probably because we have so many gadgets that we know we're going to need the power. But this one's a little bit different. So this, if you go to the little product shot there, this is the MyCharge. This is the Adventure. I'm going to hold off on the other part of the name because we'll give it away. It's a 6,600 milliamp hour battery, which is, it's not huge. We've got 28,000 units, so from Anker. This has a single USB port for charging, and it will do high power charging. You can charge it via a micro USB. On the other side, I've got a micro USB cable that's actually built into the case. I kind of like this, this whole idea that there's always a cable that's attached to the unit that I can charge from. But that's not really why I would get this. I mean,
it's just another big battery for your phones and stuff. Right?
Exactly, right? That's all you'd be thinking. Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's got some features like it won't discharge much if you just keep it in your glove compartment. Yeah. But it's got one thing that actually I really do like, and that's these things. No. That's not a kinky thing. This is actually a way to jumpstart your car. This is what got me excited about this. This has a port right here that I can open up, and I can attach high amperage 12-volt jumper cables to this. And yes, folks, this will jump your car. The full name is the MyCharge Adventure Jumpstart. If you go and go to the link there, Alex, it's about $100. But if you've ever had a car run out of power and have to hold out the jumper cables, this will save your life. I love this thing. I've had a series of unreliable cars.
Why did I pay the same price for one that just charges my phone?
Exactly.
When I could have also had it as an emergency backup for the car.
Well,
this is amazing.
The way that I would work with this thing is I always keep a battery pack in my console, so it's always being charged.
Uh-huh.
And then I can charge my phone off of the unit here. But that also means that if it's sitting there, and for some reason I kill the battery, let's say I leave the lights on overnight, there's always that power source right there. This will give me 400 peak cranking amps. It will give me 200 cold cranking amps. I mean, that's I could start a truck with this thing. So that's not bad at all.
But I love that it just, you have these and you poke them up to the battery. There's no more of that, well, I need a jump start from somebody. Hey, I've got who's got the cables, and you got the cars facing each other, and if you're parked in a certain spot, it's really hard to get another car in there. You don't need to worry about that. You just
And actually, if you see this, I'm pretty sure this is where they store the caps. So it's got some pretty big caps in there. You don't want to draw directly from the battery. So that's why it's got 400 peak amps. And by the way, folks, that will start pretty much anything. Unless you're driving a semi-truck, 400 amps will at least get you turning.
Yeah.
But the 200 amp is, so if you just leave it connected to your battery terminals, you can kind of trickle it back up a little bit until you get that turn, that crank. Again, not the best battery pack in terms of flexibility and functionality when I'm looking at battery packs that I carry with me, but definitely something that I'd want to keep in my car. In fact, I'm thinking this is probably going to go in the go bag. I have a battery pack in my go bag right now, but this is kind of nice.
Because when the zombie apocalypse hits and you find an abandoned car,
you need to charge a car.
You need to start that up.
Also, the fact that it just has a 12-volt port, which I kind of like because now I can use it to charge accessories and stuff.
Yeah, and I love that it's not just a car jump starter. You can actually use it day to day.
It's very fashionable. Black is the new orange.
And by being able to use it for phones and stuff, you'll make sure it's charged for that emergency when you really do need it.
All right. So. I got Jammer B off to the side here. He wants to show me his thing. He's got the Cobra jump pack.
Oh, he's got one too.
He's got one too.
I didn't know these existed.
Mine's
two.
Mine's better, man. Look. He's got the little dual pack. I got the mega pack. I'm sorry. Wimpy, wimpy, wimpy. Hefty, hefty, hefty.
I've got the cables. Give me another car.
Sorry. Mine's better. Thanks, everybody. Now, folks, when we come back, we've got more from our CES swag hunt. But first, we do have a little bit more feedback that we want to do. First of all, we've got Neil Balch. Balch?
Balch.
Neil. We've got Neil, who's, he wants to fly away. Patrick, what does he want?
Says, hey, all. I just got a RTFQ Clip FCU as part of the KnowHow 250 kit, or the KH250 kit. I would really like to get some of the upgrade modules that they offer if you purchase the Flip standalone, but I don't want to have to buy another unit. Is there another way to get just the Baro Plus Mag board and the Bluetooth board?
Actually, very, very good question. If you go to that first link, Alex, this is what the bare bones basic Flip looks like. And actually, I've recommended this because it's a really good learning board. It's $15, and essentially all this will do is keep your craft in the air and keep it level. That's what it's good at. And you can turn off the stability so you can get into acro mode. I like this because it teaches people how to fly. There's not too much automation that takes away from the feel of flying. But what he's saying is, look, I think I'm good with the basic flight. can I start adding things like a barometer, which can do altitude hold. So you can you can hit a certain altitude and then flip a switch, and the quadcopter will just stay at that altitude. It will automatically vary its thrust to try to keep that pressure. Also, a compass, which is just a magnetic sensor, so that you can do what's called a heading hold. So if it's pointing in this direction and you flip that switch, it will just keep going in that direction.
Yeah.
Very cool features, but he wants to know if you can add them on. The answer is yes, you can, because they are just either I2C or basic bus components. We've done Arduino projects before that work exactly the same. In many cases, these are the exact same chips. They're just in a different package, a different board. But the good answer is no, because buying those components and then adding them in will typically be more expensive than just buying the new board with the components already added in, and probably less reliable. If you go to that second link, this is what I'd look at once you start going at more advanced. I would actually not stay with the flip. I like the flip for acrobatic stuff, but if you're looking at things like barometer and a magnetometer, and maybe you want to add GPS because you want more advanced features, get a more advanced flight controller. This is $34 versus $15, but this has the barometer, this has the magnetometer built in. It has the headers for you to be able to add a GPS module so you can do things like GPS hold or heading hold. And it's just an overall a better controller when you want to start getting into automated flight. This is one of those classic, before quadcopters, go back to cars. You could soup up a car, absolutely, but at some point it just becomes easier and more reliable to just buy a new car. This is the same thing with a flight controller. Sure, you could soup up the flight controller you have right now, but why not just take that flight controller out, put in a better flight controller, and now you've got that other one for when you want to do your next build.
Yeah.
Does that sound about fair? Is that
okay? Yeah. It sounds like it's more complete system.
Yeah. Let's go ahead and do one more from a show favorite, Rud Dog. Rud Dog is an oft-quoted member of Arquitas, and he's got a question about memories.
All right. Interesting question about compiling via Arduino IDE. Does the process of compiling a sketch create a binary, and if so, where does it store it?
Very good question. I actually love answering questions about this because people, they go, wait, okay, so I upload to the Arduino. How come the programming just doesn't go away when I turn off the power? Because it's not like a Raspberry Pi. There's no SD card. There's no hard drive. There's no SSD. There's no place to store it. Actually, there is, and it's built into the chip. It's the Atmel. It's the company that makes the chips on the Arduino. They actually build three types of memory into each one of their chips. There's a little bit of flash, which is non-volatile. And non-volatile means that when I turn off the power, the memory stays. There's SRAM, and SRAM is just like memory in your laptop or your desktop. Mm-hmm. It's very fast, but if you turn off power, you'll lose the content. It's volatile. And then there's EEPROM, erasable, what is it? What's the second E? Something erasable, programmable, read-only memory. Electronically erasable, programmable, read-only memory.
Sure, we'll go with that.
That's it. That's what it is. And that's we've actually played with that on KnowHow before. That's a place where you can store little bits, very small bits and pieces of information that will stay once you've removed power, although it's limited the number of writes, so you don't really want to be using it like a hard drive. Now, here's how it actually works. When you write a sketch, a program inside of the sketch IDE, it's not actually uploading that code into the Arduino. The Arduino won't know what to do with it. What you see on the page is in that format with those words because that's how our brain thinks. We need those words. What it will actually do is it does a three-step process. The first process is it will look at the INO file, the file that you've written. It will take the basic Arduino library and it will concatenate it. All those times that you've called the functions, it will make it one long contiguous file. The second part is it's going to look at all the includes. So if I've added any libraries, it's going to take those and it's going to also pull those in, but it will only pull in the functions from those includes that you're using. So it won't pull in the entire library. The third part is it's going to turn all of that into a hexadecimal machine code file. You would not be able to understand what it is because it's no longer words. It's just a series of hex, which is 16. A hex value is 16. It's 0 through 1, A, B, C, D, E, F. So pairs of those. And that's all of your code. That's what actually gets uploaded into the flash memory. along with 8K of a bootloader. The bootloader is just the instructions the very first time or whenever you restart the Arduino. That will be in the flash. And then any variables, so if you add bits and pieces of your program that need to be worked on, which is what you would do otherwise, it would be a boring program, that's going to be stored in the SRAM. Any variables that I need to store past power down, I will store in the EEPROM. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Kind of, right?
I understand it. So,
yeah.
Sure.
It doesn't really affect how you write. If you write right, it'll just go straight in. But it's kind of cool to know what actually goes into your Arduino when you decide to power it on and off. Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. That does it for the feedback. When we come back, we're going to be doing CES on the wrist, and then we're going to go and see if Burkeized our Burkeizer. But before we do that, let's go ahead and take another moment to thank a sponsor of this episode of Know How. Hey, Patrick.
Yeah.
We're both sort of in the IT field.
Different sort of.
Parts
totally.
Of IT.
Yeah.
IT's really kind of expanded. It used to be IT was just the networking part. But now it's development as well, and that's what you do. You're a dev. Yeah. Do you get the question, because I get this all the time, of, well, how do I get into that? I get it especially from young fans who are like, I don't know where to start. I want to do that. I'd love a career in that. I want to do what you do. I want to get paid to play with stuff.
Yes.
But getting into it is not the easy. How did you get into your field?
I learned on my own and then went to college for computer science.
And that's kind of like what I did. Yeah. I learned on my own. I picked up on my basic skills. Went to college, kind of learned a little bit about it.
Didn't use any of that.
Didn't use any of that.
Taught myself everything since then. So
got the degree, realized the degree didn't really help me in that IT career. There must be a better way to do it. There must be a better way to get into IT. There must be a better way for you to get those skills, to get the knowledge that you need, the practical knowledge to move forward in your IT career. Thankfully, it is called IT Pro TV. Now, IT Pro TV is the premier provider of IT information. It's not just a place to learn, it's also a place to reference. Even if you've been in IT for 20 years or decades, like both Patrick and I, sometimes you need to go back. Sometimes you need to look at something you've forgotten, and IT Pro TV is perfect for that. IT Pro TV offers over 3,300 hours of binge-worthy on-demand training, with more than 125 hours added each week. You can stream IT Pro TV's courses live and on demand via Chromecast, Roku, Amazon Fire TV, Apple TV PC, or by using their iOS and Android apps. There's no need to go off-site for training. IT Pro TV does IT live every day, so you know you're getting the most current IT training. The courses include things like CEH version 9, CISA, SQL Server 2016, Azure 7533, CCNA Security, CompTIA A+, and more. You can track your team's results. If you're a team leader, that will help you improve the ROI of your training spend with IT Pro TV's supervisor portal. I actually really like this. I wish they had this when I was still running my own business. You need your team members to stay current. You need to make sure that they're reading and watching the latest and the greatest so that when they go out into the field, they know what to do. Well, if you get the team portal, you can gain full control over your team's training schedule. You can create custom groups and training assignments. You can view logins, viewing time, video downloads, and course completion tracking. It also let you see individual and group analytics, so you can see how your people are doing, either individually or as a whole. And you can check out their team solution for group pricing. Now, we love to talk about James Packer. He is the a member of our Army who used IT Pro TV to train himself and his team. He got recruited to his dream job in a literal tropic paradise. Folks, if you want to get into IT, you can do it the hard way or you can do it the IT Pro TV way. If you're interested in learning more about IT Pro TV's team solutions, contact them for a free team trial, including their supervisor portal at itpro.tv/knowhow. Or you can sign up for an individual monthly membership and a free 7-day trial at itpro.tv/knowhow and use the code KNOWHOW30. It'll give you 30% off your subscription for the lifetime of your active subscription. You can join more than 90,000 IT Pro TV members today. Premium subscriptions, which include unlimited Transcender practice exams and virtual labs, are normally $857 a year, but you only pay $600 when you go to itpro.tv/knowhow and use the code KNOWHOW30. Again, that's itpro.tv/knowhow and use the code KNOWHOW30. Flexible training, binge-worthy content, ROI proven. And we thank IT Pro TV for their support of know-how. All right, Patrick, let's get away from the cars. I like the cars, yeah. And we've actually got more car technology coming in, I hope, including some very cool tech that's not actually in a car, but it's the new LiDAR, the state-of-the-art LiDAR sensors that I saw from Coeco.
Huh.
I'm seriously, that company, if it's publicly traded, and I wasn't doing this, I would buy some of that because that is a great technology.
Well, and you're also considering remote controlling a car.
Oh, yeah. that's a secret.
We're
not going to tell people about that. But I did want to show a little something that I picked up, not for the car, but for the body. And specifically, it's this thing. Now, you might be looking at that going, oh, Padre's got an Apple Watch. No! I wouldn't do an Apple Watch. Are you kidding me?
I like my Apple Watch.
Whatever. Oh, actually, here, take your Apple Watch off. Put it right there. Okay, so... All right, folks, let's be clear. There's obviously been some inspiration for the design of this. I'm not even going to lie about that. But that's actually a good thing. Because this is not an Apple Watch. This is the Hey 3S by WeLoop. Yes, I know the names are kind of weird, but it's bear with me. This weighs just 38 grams. This is a 56-gram watch, and the Apple Watch goes all the way up to 125 grams. By comparison, the Samsung Gear S3, it's 60 grams. So this is crazy, crazy light, mm-hmm. Which actually matters on your wrist. This connects via Bluetooth to iOS or Android, so it will work on either operating system. It's got a 270 milliamp hour battery, which is small, but we'll get back to that because this is kind of important. It's got a GPS plus AGPS for positioning information. It's IP68, not 67, which my last watch was, and I didn't realize that IP67 doesn't mean waterproof. It just means water resistant.
Oh.
Yeah, no. IP68. That was a problem. IP68 is waterproof. This will go down to 50 meters. This will measure steps, distance, calorie burn, floors climbed, active versus passive minutes, heart rates, basically all the health stuff that you would get from either an Apple Watch or an Android watch. You also get notifications for mail, for social media apps, etc. So it has a lot of the functions that you would expect from a smartwatch. The operating system, if you go back to the overhead, the operating system is not, you know, great. This is obviously a pared down version. Like, for example, I can start up the heart rate monitor. I can do swimming. I can do cycling. I can do running. But it's really bare bones. The reason why it's bare bones, though, is, Patrick, how long does your Apple Watch last on a battery?
A day? Actually, no, 2 days.
2 days.
I have the Series 2.
That's actually pretty good.
Yeah.
2 days. Wow.
I've forgotten to charge it at night, and I can get through the next day.
No way.
It's down to, like, 20%.
2 days?
2 days.
Oh, wow. Well,
now, granted, I'm not using it a ton. I get notifications. I check it every now and then, but I'm not like, okay, let me use it every hour.
Yeah, so this is always on. This is always giving me notifications. But 2 days is not bad.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. If you go to the overhead, this watch has been running for 3 weeks.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Okay.
And right now the battery is at 57%.
So you get another month.
Well, they say a month, but I have not charged this since I used it on the new screensavers back when I came back from CES. It's been on my wrist. It's been running. I use this all the way through Rome, and I've got over half the battery left in there. That's pretty freaking ridiculous.
Yeah.
So that's what they've done. I talked to the representative, and what she was saying was, look, with the other watches, they're great. Android watches, Apple watches, they give you a lot of functionality, but essentially what they've done is they've taken a phone and they've slapped it on your wrist. We don't need that. All I want is a phone that gives me my health features, and it gives me notifications. And they can do that in such a way and use so little power that instead of a day or two, or with like the Gear watch, if I turn everything off, I can get up to a week. I'm looking at a month easy for this watch before I even start thinking about putting it on the charger. And the pricing is actually pretty good too. It's $150 if you go to the link. Again, this is called the Hey 3S by WeLoop. It's going to cost you about $150. I'd love to see that get down to 100. 100 would be a magical price point. I mean, this is already less than half the cost of an Apple Watch. It's half the cost of a modern Android watch. But what you get with this is all the stuff you want in a wearable, none of the stuff that you already have on your phone.
Yeah.
That's not a bad philosophy. I compare, you know what this is? This is the new Pebble.
Yes.
That's what this is.
Yes,
exactly what this is. This is a watch that is good enough at a price point good enough, with the features good enough, that it fills a niche. It's not trying to compete with an Android watch or an Apple watch. It's just good at what it does. What do you think?
Yeah. Well, I'll stick with mine because I can check into my flights
and
with
see,
this.
I thought you were going to say that. So what I wanted to do is I wanted to go ahead and show them the app that's actually tied to this thing. So this is linked via low-power Bluetooth. But so it just linked up, and so far I've only taken 813 steps today, and that's because I'm stuck behind a truck. But yeah, that's not so great. But I can go back over the last couple of days. So it every time it syncs up, it will link up. So like when I was in Rome, I was walking a lot.
Yeah,
because that's what you do.
Or is
you
that walk. Running through the airport to get home?
Actually, no, believe it or not, that's just walking through our house. That's how big our house is. It is 160 steps for me to get from my room to the stairwell. So from the fifth floor to down to the fourth floor. It's kind of fun. It will track my health. It will allow me to. I can change the watch face. This is a very slow sync, so I'm not going to do it. But it's fun. I didn't realize watch faces could be kind of cool. I had a Gear emulation, but I kind of like the one I've got now just because it puts all the details I need right in front of me. This works really, really well. I was expecting a clunky, kludgy experience, but believe it or not, they kind of got it right out the front door. Now, Megan has one of these too. I'm betting her experience is going to be vastly different because she already uses a watch.
Mm-hmm.
And I think people who use a watch already are going to be very unhappy with this because they're going to expect more functionality.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you're used to your Apple Watch.
Yeah.
This would be a downgrade for you.
Yeah, just you've got that watch face, but I've got my watch face here with my special
with a
picture.
Much brighter screen, yeah.
But I like having a picture there.
Yeah, yeah. But for the people who don't wear watches yet, this is actually, I kind of like this. And I have worn an Apple Watch and I have worn an Android Watch. Both of those were too heavy. I kept taking them off. And eventually I just got tired of waking up in the morning and realized I hadn't put it on the charger right and it's dead.
Oh,
I'm not going to get that with this.
Well, this is it is nice to have the Apple Watch so I can listen to podcasts with a Bluetooth headset.
Okay.
So,
all right.
I want to hear know-how.
Well, we've got one more bit for you folks. He said CES for your bottom.
For your bottom.
Yeah, we've got that. Burke has Burkeized our product. So we're going to move over to the other set and take a look at what we got for your bottom line. But before we do that, here's a quick video from Rome. I'm going to give you an update on Twit Eternal.
I thought maybe I would show you really quickly the space that they're considering giving to me for my studio. It's number 272. I like the fact that it has nice thick doors, which helps me keep the noise inside from getting out in the community, so I don't have to worry too much about noise pollution. Very nice space. The walls will need some audio treatment. A little bit of acoustic foam in order to keep the echoing down. I do like the fact that there's a drop, a pop-up receptacle box here for networking and for power, so I can use that as sort of the central turret. I'm thinking I could probably put 3 to 4 sets here, plus have a corner reserved for if I want to do my editing actually in this room, I could put my desk. And then we have this. So that's the archive on the other side. Go up. I'm separated by this little cage here, so this side would be mine. I'm thinking right here would be where I could put a lot of storage. Then I have these shelves, which I think will become racks. I could put my TriCaster or whatever switcher I end up using, plus say the NAS storage box so I can keep the noise away from the studio. And then I have this lovely space. This is a balcony. This used to be hanging shelves. So, of course, this was part of the archive, the library. But the nice thing is this railing. It's actually pretty strong. And I'm thinking I could put the trusses across, maybe one that way, which will allow me to mount cameras, lighting, pretty much anywhere I want. There is an air conditioning unit, and the nice thing about this is it's actually one of the quiet ones. So I can heat or cool the room without having to worry about too much noise. So this could potentially be the new space for my studio, whatever I end up calling it. It'd be Twit Rome, Twit Eternal, Padre Studios.
Who knows? Stay tabbed.
I couldn't believe the room that they were willing to give me. I mean, I thought I was going to have to get like a closet and then like really, really outfit it with gear. This is basically, they gave me a library. They gave me a library to turn into my own studio.
Looks more like it was a recording studio or radio.
I don't know what they intended it to be, but obviously there was some renovation and then they stopped because that building is really, really old. That room is not. I'll have to find the history. But if I do end up getting that room, and this is what I want to give to Arquitas, they're going to give me a 100-100 symmetrical line that's mine. That belongs to me. That's plenty to broadcast.
Yeah.
And that space is plenty for me to continue making stuff. I just have to get permission.
And so I know people are wondering, like, are you going to keep doing know-how from there?
Well, you know, maybe not know-how, but I'm thinking Padres Corner, maybe a little bit of Twilight action. Well, who knows?
Well, you'll certainly be guesting.
Certainly be guesting. Shows. And it also means that when our friends and friends of the network are in Europe, they've got a great place to podcast from.
So Mike Elgin will be stopping by quite a bit.
Yeah, although he's more than welcome to stay at our house. Probably doesn't want to eat at our house. Food in our house is not great. The food outside of our house, awesome.
He will be showing you where to eat.
Precisely.
In Rome.
Now, folks, Patrick, you may have noticed, is on a little something something. This is another thing. Just like the Viva that I saw at CES, and the first time I saw it, I was a little incredulous. I thought, there's no way this is going to be any good. This is kind of janky. It's actually a really good idea. So we all know that sit-stand desks are good, right? It helps you to get up and down. And that's exactly what this is. So this is a sit-stand desk. This allows you to raise and lower this to where you need it to be. Probably not designed for people quite as tall as you.
I'm 6'6", and it fits quite well, actually.
This is a desk. So it's a sit-stand desk, and they just also happen to build in a little exercise bike into it. Here, if you step off for just a second, this is one of the cool features. It's got a gravity lock. So normally, this is actually quite easy to move around. And these legs are retractable, so you can just sort of snug them underneath and push it into the corner. But when you sit down on it, go ahead and sit down, it locks down. So this thing, I'm not going to move it. That's actually a pretty good system. And what they've done with the exercise bike part of the unit is it's not friction-based. If you've ever used a friction-based exercise cycle, you know the biggest problem is the noise because it's usually a belt, and you hear that nothing. Because it's designed for the workplace. It's quiet. So what it's actually doing is you're driving a little dynamo. That dynamo is creating a magnetic field that's the resistance. So it's a magnetic resistance. And there's a little knob down there that allows you to adjust the amount of resistance. So right now you're at 3. I'm going to push you on 8. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. That's an 8.
And
I'm going uphill.
It's actually a really cool system. I mean, if I was using a regular exercise bike right now, this thing would be crazy noisy. I'd be driving the people in my office nuts.
Back to 3.
Let's put you on 2. How about that? Does it make you feel better?
Well, this feels like biking down a normal street. Actually, a little bit of a decline.
Right. This is by Logitech. It's the Flexi Spotline. This is called their Desk Size Pro. If you go to the link, Alex, it's about $500. And believe it or not, if you've ever shopped for sit-stand furniture, that's incredibly affordable. In fact, that's a great price point. Sit-stand desks typically start at like $600 and up.
Yeah.
So this is already lower priced, plus you get a little bit of extra functionality. Now, they showed me what they want to do with this. They actually want to put a little dynamo so you could charge your devices. They've got versions of this where you have monitor mounts. They've got versions of these that are like this is not quite all the way on right now, but that are either sturdier or a bit more flexible depending on what you want to mount on it. I kind of like what they're doing with this. This is a company that actually started with exercise equipment, and now they're moving in ergonomic equipment. This is not a bad place to go.
Yeah, and the way this is curved, but they've got the straight edge in here, so you can have the laptop right here. You can do your coding, or you can just watch Netflix.
Right. Oh, and to answer a question that is being asked by CR1 in our chat room right now, yes, you can mine Bitcoin with this. The faster you pedal, the more Bitcoin you get.
I'm going to be so rich.
There's an app. There's definitely an app for that.
I feel like this should power some USB thing.
Well, that's what they said. So actually, everyone in the audience asked about that. They're like, well, if you're generating power to drive the magnet, couldn't I use that to charge something? Like, yes, we know. It's possible. It's just we didn't think about it for this version. So
of course, something like this, you're going to have it in your home or an office where there's an outlet anyway, so you don't really need to charge.
You don't need to, but I mean,
but
come on.
The thought of knowing, hey, I can only use my phone if I charge it myself.
Or I mean, what
is your exercise regimen?
What kind of superiority do you get to walk around the office where you're like, oh, you charge your phone from the wall? Oh, that's cute.
Yeah. I charged my phone this morning on my bike.
Carbon neutral.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I mean, not carbon neutral because I have to eat to generate that power and I'm expensive. But you get the point. So again, this is the Desk Size Pro. It's about $500. I do want to do a complete rundown because my thing for something like this is I can't just show it to you. I want to see if this holds up after like 3 months of use. I'm actually going to be using this as my primary desk when I'm not editing, maybe even when I am editing, to see if it falls apart. Secondly, if I get swole. I'm going to be so swole. You don't even know.
You're going to need a whole new wardrobe for Rome.
Yeah, so. in honor of Cranky Hippo, I'm going to need to take a page from the Swoley Bible. I probably shouldn't say that. Well, folks, we know that this has been a lot of information. Now, if you want to find links to any of the products that we talked about, for your car, for your wrist, for your bottom, you need to go to our show page. Patrick, where do they find that?
You can find that at twit.tv/KH.
Yeah, and that's not the only place you're going to find us on the internets.
No.
You can find us on social. We do that social thing all the kids are talking about. Specifically, Google Plus. Go to Google Plus, look for know-how, ask to join. It's a very short approval process. It's how I keep out the spam accounts. But once you're in, you get access to almost 12,000 Kitas. Those are our know-it-alls. People like you, in every step of your maker DIY journey, who can ask questions, answer questions, post pictures of your projects. And as you can see, you can get your questions here on the show. Again, go to Google Plus, look for know-how. What about that Twitter?
I'm at twitter.com/pdelahanty.
You're going to find me at twitter.com/PadreSJ. You're going to find the third member of our crew. We call him Swoley Pete. You're going to find Swoley Pete at twitter.com/ANELF3.
Excuse me, Padre. That's accurate.
Wow. That's a change-up. So, yeah.
That'll be in the show notes, too.
I'm so swole.
Everyone on set is swole today, folks. That's how it works. Oh, by the way, Patrick, where you do a lot of work other than know-how. Where else do they find you?
I've got my convention podcast, AnimeCons TV. We're in our 10th year.
Whoa!
And so you can find that at animecons.tv. Yep. And we're looking for 1,000 YouTube subscribers. We're so close.
Get there. Until next time, I'm Father Robert Ballasaire.
And I'm Patrick Delahanty.
And now that you know how, go ride it.